for the first 7 months of the Trump administration, there have been a number of foreign leaders who have come to the White House. But the first dignitary to be hosted for a formal dinner at the White House was Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi in late June. It's symbolic of a bilateral relationship that's been drawing closer even before the Trump administration took office. Since he took office in 2014, Prime Minister Modi has visited the United States five times, more than any other country. Joining us to talk more about that relationship is India's ambassador to the United States, Navtej Sarna, in town for an event at the East-West Center. Mr. Ambassador, thanks for joining us. You have spoken of the U.S.-India global partnership. How do you see where that partnership is now, and how do you see it developing?
Well, yes, I think the relationship that we have today is quite unique. It is very strong on a bilateral wicket. But what we mean by global partnership is that it addresses in strong convergence most of the issues that the world faces today. And this was very much evident during the visit of Prime Minister Modi and his discussions with President Trump and the documents that were issued after the visit. So I think as in terms of facing the challenges, whether they be of global terrorism, whether they be of issues of maritime security, whether they be of the freedom of the seas and navigation and connectivity issues, these are all issues which democracies have to handle, and it becomes much easier if they handle them together.
Part of that evolving world of which you speak, Prime Minister Modi traveling to China next week, taking part in that so-called BRICS summit, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. China and India recently backed off a border dispute with a complicated history, but clearing the way for that visit. How would you characterize the current state of Indian-Chinese relations, and how do you see that playing into that broader multilateral picture that you were drawing?
We have a very broad-based relationship with China, which is multilateral aspects also, and also strong economic and investment ties. And as you rightly said, we have recently resolved an issue at the border through diplomatic channels. BRICS is something which faces many of the challenges of the world, and this was, it gives a platform for major emerging economies to come together and to address these issues. So we're looking forward to the visit and to the discussions in China.
There are some who have theorized that the closer relationship of the United States and India is seen as a bit of a counterweight to China's influence in the region. What would you say to that?
Well, I'm not very sure whether it is very useful to see these relations through the prism of any other relationship. I think the India-U.S. relationship has a strong logic of its own. It's a relationship between the world's largest and the world's oldest democracies. It's a relationship based on a convergence of fundamental values, freedoms, individual liberties, between two major federal nations. It is a relationship which is based on looking at the economic and convergences over the coming years. And of course, there is a very strong people-to-people link now that we have a very successful and increasingly powerful diaspora of about 3 million people of Indian origin in the United States. So I would rather take this relationship on its own basis and not look at it through the prism of any third country.
Taking it on its own basis for a moment, right now the Assistant Secretary of State for South and Central Asian Affairs is an acting position in the United States. Many other senior State Department positions are unfilled or filled with personnel working in an acting capacity. As the U.S. ambassador of a major power, do you feel that absence of senior personnel and of some experienced career foreign service personnel in the United States?
Well, I think this is a matter for the administration to decide upon, and it is not my position to comment on this matter. What I can say is that we have been able to continue the relationship in a very successful manner in the last few months, as would be evident from the very closely choreographed visit of the Prime Minister and subsequent contacts between the two administrations.
You know, you were stationed at the Indian Embassy in Washington from 98 to 2002 as a minister counselor that stretched during the second Clinton administration, the first Bush administration.
That's right.
How would you compare that time and this in terms of U.S.-Indian relations?
Well, I think that was the beginning of the turnaround, if I may say so. And from then on, these relations have progressed from strength to strength. So if I look back to that time, I think the relationship today is much richer, much more broad-based. It is engagement in almost every field of human activity. There is tremendous convergence and mutual respect for each other's positions. So I think whether we look at the political engagement, we look at the economic engagement, you know, all major corporates based in the U.S. are engaged in India. And whether we look at what we are doing in terms of science and technology, space, the cyber world, the medicine world, I think there is a sea change in the relationship from then and now, and in that sense we have, you know, the relationship has thrived in different administrations, both in the U.S. as well as in India, and in fact with each sort of change, democratic change, somehow it has become even more stronger than before.
One Hawaii-specific question. India has big plans for solar energy. The Prime Minister has a good deal of experience in putting solar into play in Gujarat State when he was chief minister there. But the vast majority of India's energy still comes from coal. Is there anything in Hawaii that you're watching or paying attention to when it comes to solar or any other alternative energy sourcing? And is there any room for cooperation between Hawaii and India in that area?
Well, although I haven't had any specific discussions on energy in Hawaii, I did have energy discussions in my visit to Alaska and to Texas earlier. But we would be open to any ideas and proposals that we could get for cooperation in energy. We do have dependence on coal and oil and gas, but we also have very ambitious plans of bringing in renewable energy up to the tune of 175 gigawatts of energy by 2022 will come from renewable sources, including solar and wind. So yes, we would be open to any proposals that we could get for cooperation in any energy domain. India is an energy-hungry country, and given our growth rates of over 7% now for the coming decades, I think we would be needing energy for the foreseeable future.
Mr. Ambassador, thanks very much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Navtesh Sarna is the Indian ambassador to the United States. He's a veteran of more than 35 years in the Indian Foreign Service, having served as ambassador to the United Kingdom and Israel, as well as in postings around the world, from Moscow and Warsaw to Tehran and Washington. He's also a writer of novels, short stories, and criticism, and among his academic credentials is a diploma in journalism.